I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're going to talk about rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth, which I think is a very important thing to do, especially in the times in which we live, because there is, as the scripture warned us, in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. The time would come, we were warned, that men would not endure sound doctrine, but would turn away their ears from the truth and would be turned unto fables. And that's what we're seeing happen right here in our country with all the unrest, with this rising communist movement that's threatening to undermine and, if they could, overthrow our country. Thankfully, in our country, because of the freedoms that we have and the rights that we have through the Constitution that are still reasonably defended. They're being eroded. There's no question about that, but they're still reasonably defended. Freedom of speech, freedom of the press, the right to bear arms, the fundamental freedoms of constitutional liberty, I think is what currently protects our country. But there's no question that the powers of evil, the anti-Christian coalition, is working overtime to try and undermine and overthrow our country from within. And this is a long process of subversion. A long process, not just a matter of a few years. This has been stretched out at this point, I would say, nearly 100 years. Some might even say longer than that, depending on where you want to begin tracking the process of trying to undermine it all. But at the foundation of trying to destroy the free world, I believe, undermining the Bible, exactly what we talked about in our series, Lamp in the Dark, Tares Among the Wheat, Bridge to Babylon, Part 3, exactly what we're discussing in that series, that's the very foundation of it all. Because that was the foundation, that is the foundation, really, of the free world. But they've rewritten the history books, and I think before they could really get away with that, they had to destabilize the text of the scripture, the New Testament in particular, but to destabilize it in the minds of the people. That's what we're really talking about, especially in Bridge. But we go over it also in Tares and to some extent in Lamp. But we talk about what they've done to the text of the New Testament. And as I was doing some research earlier today, I stumbled upon something that I'd not noticed before. And it is how the newer Bibles interpret 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. But this is when Paul is writing to Timothy, where he says, let's go back up to verse 12. He says, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers." Then verse 15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now that's a very, very famous verse, one that most believers are familiar with. It's why we study the Word of God. It's why Jesus said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." This is, of course, he's quoting from the Old Testament. But now let's look at some of the modern renderings that they've done, some of the modern readings in these modern Bibles. I stumbled upon this on the internet, and I just found it incredible they have all, virtually all of them, have removed, probably except the New King James and the King James 2000 Bible, that have retained the word. The American King James Version has retained it, but they've all removed the word study otherwise. The word study has been replaced. The New International Version says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. The NLT, New Living Translation, says, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive His approval. Work hard. Not study. The word study has been removed. The ESV, English Standard Version, says, quote, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, etc. Now, it does go on to say, in various ways, who correctly handles the word of truth, who correctly explains the word of truth, rightly handling the word of truth, that's the ESV, rightly handling the word of truth, etc. So it finishes out that way, but they've all, for some reason, removed the word study. The NASB says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. The NET Bible, that's Dan Wallace's Bible, make every effort to present yourself before God as a proven worker. The Aramaic Bible in plain English says, and take care of yourself that you present yourself perfectly before God. The New American Standard 1977 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed. The ASV, American Standard Version, give diligence to present thyself approved unto God. Now, even the Douay-Rheims Bible, which is the one the Jesuits translated in the Middle Ages, says, carefully study to present thyself approved unto God. The ESV, English Revised Version, says, give diligence to present thyself approved unto God. So again, removing the word study. So it's like the older translations. I've even got my 1599 Geneva Bible here. And 2 Timothy says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And it's virtually the same as the King James. The footnote says, the Reformed footnote, the fifth admonition, a minister must not be an idle disputer, but a faithful steward in dividing aright the word of truth, insomuch that he must stop the mouths of other vain babblers by adding nothing to it, neither overslipping anything, neither mangling it, nor renting it in sunder, nor resting of it, but marking diligently what his hearers are able to hear, and what is fit to edifying. There doesn't seem to be any logical reason for why these other translations have removed the whole idea of studying to show yourself approved to God. I mean, certainly we would agree, give diligence to be to yourself, to be approved of God. In other words, to live your life in a way that is going to be approved of God, you know, in all of our behavior, in all things whatsoever we do, do all as unto the Lord. We certainly agree to that. But why remove the word study? It just makes me suspicious, because look at what they've done here, and we're really seeing the fruit of what has happened through our education system. And you got books out there, I've seen them for years, talking about the dumbing down of America and dumbing down our children through education so that they're not going to be as aware, especially in matters of history. I just keep seeing over and over and over again that our young people, 19, 20, 21 years old, often at a college level, know very little or even nothing about history. And some of the conversations that journalists, independent journalists, sometimes even on Fox News every now and again, back when O'Reilly was still on the news, they would show these interviews with people at colleges and universities who know virtually nothing about history. And I keep coming back to the that quote from Karl Marx, that history is the battleground. And now look at what's happening. They're tearing down these Confederate statues. They're trying to remove what has been the established, understood history of America. Now under this idea that, well, this represents racism and bigotry and all this other kind of stuff, so we need to tear these things down and replace it with something else, which is what the communists do in virtually every country that they go into. They get rid of whatever the history was before, and they try to replace it with their own version of history for the purpose of conditioning the people to start thinking in whatever Marxist worldview they want them to have. All right, now I'm going to read some information on this. This is from an article written several years ago, posted in Psychology Today. Psychology Today, pretty mainstream publication. And we're not going to say that Psychology Today, because the whole field of psychiatry and psychology and all of that is full of its own controversies, and I don't trust the APA, the American Psychiatric Association, etc. So having said all of that, I'm just going to read this to you. This is in a mainstream publication. Here's what they noted back in 2014, just 3 years ago, in an article titled Anti-Intellectualism and the Dumbing Down of America. Okay? And here's what it says. It says, quote, there is a growing and disturbing trend of anti-intellectual elitism in American culture. It's the dismissal of science, the arts, and humanities, and their replacement by entertainment, self-righteousness, ignorance, and deliberate gullibility. Quote, dumbness, to paraphrase the late Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan, has been steadily defined downward for several decades by a combination of heretofore irresistible forces. These include the triumph of video culture over print culture, a disjunction between Americans' rising level of formal education and their shaky grasp of basic geography, science, and history, and the fusion of anti-rationalism with anti-intellectualism. So just basic information is what it seems to be saying. Basic information. The generation who's being educated now here currently does not have. It goes on to talk about an author named Mark Bauerlaine in his book, The Dumbest Generation. It says, reveals how a whole generation of youth is being dumbed down by their aversion to reading anything of substance and their addiction to social media. Journalist Charles Pierce, author of Idiot America, adds another perspective. Quote, the rise of idiot America today represents for profit mainly, but also and more cynically for political advantage in the pursuit of power, the breakdown of a consensus that the pursuit of knowledge is a good. In other words, convincing people that pursuing knowledge and information, in other words, what the Bible says, to prove all things and hold fast that which is good, that's a good thing to do, is being abandoned. And if you listen to the young people out there today, the millennials that are coming out of these colleges and universities, pursuing an accurate worldview about having an accurate view of reality doesn't really matter to them. It's all about these ideologies about racism and bigotry and misogyny and homophobia and all this other kind of stuff. And do you have the correct opinion? Not necessarily is your opinion based upon real facts and information that matter. That doesn't matter. It's, do you have the correct indoctrination? That seems to be the focus. But notice this now, brethren, this is Psychology Today, and a whole, of course, you would expect this from conspiracy websites. You would expect this from conservative sites like Breitbart and InfoWars and others, but even in the mainstream, it has been acknowledged there is a dumbing down. People are not being encouraged to study. They're being encouraged to simply adopt an ideology, whether it makes any sense or not. Okay, let's go to our commercial break. We'll talk more when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part three in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today: the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're talking about, well, we began talking about studying to show ourselves approved unto God. And, you know, this gets back to a lot of things here. This gets back to the foundation purpose, the original purpose of public education and education for all people. This is something that is not taught, should be taught, in my opinion. And I admit I was not taught these things when I was going through school either. I had to learn most of what I know and believe today after I got out of college and university and so on, and was just compelled to do it, I believe, by God, just by studying the scripture and then feeling led of the Lord to pursue an understanding of what's going on in the world around us. Now, originally for me, it began through Bible study and then studying prophecy and its fulfillment. And I just felt like I was supposed to pay more attention to news and history and things like that, mainly to understand the timeline, well, a timeline of how God's prophecies are coming to pass, how they've come to pass in the past, and how they appear to be coming to pass in the present, how they may very well be fulfilled here in the not-too-distant future, etc. That's where it all began for me. And so I began researching history and then researching the history of prophecy. What did our forefathers believe about prophecy? And did they see in their world events, in their day, the fulfillment of things that God had foretold? And of course they did. That's why ultimately I became historicist in my worldview about these things, because the historicist view sees God's prophecies unfolding in every generation for the last 2,000 years, and that it's still unfolding. God's great mystery is being revealed upon the earth. But it's interesting to me that they are dumbing down our country. Why are they doing it? Because of people who are not, as God says in the Bible, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It's why as Christians, we've got to compel ourselves to be informed, to remember. Christianity is not a check-your-brain-at-the-door belief system. It's not, brethren. We're told, Jesus says, take heed that no man deceive you. Paul says, take heed that no man deceive you by any means. We're told to prove all things. We're not told to just believe. The scripture says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits whether or not they be from God. Now, I contrast that with what I've heard some people say in the past that, and I remember hearing at one point a commentator on the news who was up in arms because somebody had questioned, I think it was questioned whether or not Obama was really a Christian. And here was a guy who got up in arms and he said, you know, it's contrary to Christian teaching to question somebody else's faith. Words to that effect. That's what he said. And I remember thinking at the time, that's the exact opposite of what the Bible tells us. The Bible doesn't tell us that if somebody professes to be a Christian, that we are to simply accept their profession without question. That's not what we're told at all. Quite the contrary. We're told to test and to prove whether or not that's the case. Now, of course, I think we've got to be careful that we're not legalists about it, that we don't become Pharisees and develop an excessively legalistic standard for people to where it turns out that nobody that you ever met in your life was ever a Christian because they all did something wrong. That I think, and there I've heard some people, you know, you listen to some people, they're very critical. They can be very critical, and you can become convinced that there have been no Christians since the first century. The way that they talk about the history of the church, there were never any Christians from the second century all the way until the Jesus movement in the 1970s. No Christians existed anywhere. You are almost practically led to believe, based upon how critical they are of Christianity throughout history. And of course, that's simply unreasonable, brethren. It's unreasonable. Of course, we've had believers in every generation. So I think we've got to be careful in that regard to test and to prove wisely. But back to this issue of dumbing down America, I wanted to read some more of these quotes. Where back to this quote from journalist Charles Pierce, author of the book Idiot America, where he says, the rise of idiot America today represents, for profit mainly, but also and more cynically, for political advantage in the pursuit of power. Political advantage in the pursuit of power. This is why I believe this is happening. The globalists are, through education, dumbing down our population so that they will be more willing to embrace all the lies that are necessary to embrace in order to overthrow a free society. And I did the show the other day on the colonization movement and these colonization arguments that were being given. And there was an article that had been posted by a Christian author, a pretty well-known Christian author, and had posted an article about this where the author, who was an African-American woman, is denouncing colonization as, quote, the demon of colonization, she said. And then making all these assertions about it as though Christian colonization was supposedly a bad thing for America and for the world. And that all of the non-Christian groups that were diminished, why? Because they were resisting Christianity, really. You understand it. One of the things, I gave a presentation on the history of America at the Red River Prophecy Conference earlier this year, I guess. But on the history of America, you know, there's this accusation that the Christians came over here and tried to engage in genocide against the American Indians, when that is simply not the case. But it was the other way around. If you study King Philip's War, King Philip was the name of an Indian chief. In the days of King Philip, he and his braves tried to execute genocide, to carry out a genocide against all of the Christian settlers. And they'll talk about broken treaties and this kind of thing, but King Philip's War was a broken treaty. And the broken treaty was that the settlers had come, they had made agreements with the Indians, they had made treaties, if you will, agreements, they had paid for the land, and then the Indians tried to take it back and wipe them all out. Now, that aspect of American history is not typically discussed. Even when I've studied the historians who talk about it, they somehow or other still find a way to blame the American colonists from England for King Philip's War, even though it really wasn't their fault. Not at all. The Indians were simply trying to carry out genocide against them and wipe them all out. But that's not talked about. And you've got this whole Marxist rewrite of history that is really anti-Christian, as I've studied it. It's not so much about race. They're making it about race because they're trying to get people stirred up and angry. It's really about Christianity versus communism and paganism, heathenism. And so we're reminded, brethren, as we close today, of 1 Chronicles 16:35 that says, "And say ye, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise." All right, brethren, that's going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.